This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Thanks for listening. If you have watched Olivia Pope on Scandal or Eli Gold on The Good Wife, you've seen attorneys serving as crisis managers for politicians who get into trouble. Now a dozen politicians who have been down that path are offering their own advice in a book called The Recovering Politician's 12-Step Program to Survive Crisis. Jeff Smith is one of those contributors. He spent a year in jailhouse rock in a prison in Missouri after admitting that he lied to federal investigators about his knowledge of an anonymous smear campaign in his unsuccessful 2004 run for Congress. But he's turned his life around and has a wife and a child and has moved to New York City, where he's now a professor at the New School, and joins me here now. Jeff, welcome to America Weekend.
Thanks for having me on, Paul.
Always a pleasure to talk to you. Tell me what your chapter in this book about recovering politicians says.
Well, my chapter is just about sort of coming clean as soon as possible. You alluded to my crime. It actually wasn't a smear campaign. It was the fact that two of my aides had met with someone who wanted to do a postcard about my opponent's attendance record in the state legislature. I, instead of telling them, no, it's not right, you're not supposed to coordinate any expenditure, any campaign expenditure with an outside party, I told them, I don't want to know any of the details. And by saying that, of course, I did know one crucial detail, which was that they met with him. I subsequently lied on an affidavit, and then 5 years later, my ex-best friend wore a wire and got me to admit that. So I detail kind of what happened with me, why it happened, and explain where I failed and where I succeeded in terms of coming back and trying to get my life back together. And I try to sort of offer counsel for people to steer them away from making some of the mistakes I made. And then if they do, help give a guide to how they can get back on their feet.
And that first rule right there is don't lie, particularly to the feds.
Exactly. And when they knock on your door at 6:30 in the morning, don't talk to them.
Do you find when you look at the other politicians who get involved in scandals, and it seems like we have a new one nearly every week, that denial and cover-up are really the biggest problems?
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, look at Anthony Weiner. Had he just from the start said, you know, that was me. I have made some mistakes. I am in therapy to get help, and I'm working through it with my wife. Thank God she stayed with me, as opposed to saying my Twitter account was hacked and telling Nancy Pelosi and all of his colleagues he had nothing to do with this and he was going to get to the bottom of it. I mean, of course, it was like OJ looking for the killer. And he lost so much credibility with his colleagues then and with the public and with, you know, community leaders that when things hit the fan for him, he had no base of support to rely upon. So then, of course, New York voters gave him a second chance, but he still hadn't been telling the truth. He still hadn't come clean. And I think voters are inclined to give people a second chance, but I'm not really confident of his ability to get a third chance with New York voters. So, yeah, the key is just come clean, tell it all, frame the narrative yourself, and don't let it mushroom out of control with that little drip, drip, drip that just is killing Weiner right now.
You know, there's a story that came out this week about an Australian politician by the name of Peter Downing. Doesn't go well with the pictures that he sent any more than Anthony Weiner, the name Peter Downing. This guy was actually the chairman of the ethics committee in the Queensland Parliament in Australia, and he's been caught sexting a picture of his junk plunked in a glass of red wine to his mistress of 2 years. This is the guy who was the head of the ethics committee, Jeff.
I don't think I'll ever be able to drink red wine again, Paul.
But here's the thing. In both cases, both this guy and Anthony Weiner, they never actually violated a crime. They didn't even commit adultery. Sexting is not technically adultery, although wives or girlfriends may think of it as something wrong. They didn't do anything that hurt the public. They didn't break the law. But the problem in both cases was, again, the denial and the lying. So there's a question here of public trust, isn't there?
Paul, you're exactly right. It's about trust and it's about hypocrisy. And for someone like, you know, Weiner, when he finally started to, you know, work on rebuilding the trust, for then people to say, hey, but wait, you did that whole People magazine profile saying that everything was hunky-dory and you were still doing this? That's the problem. It's not sexting. And a politician can get away with sexting. I mean, Bill Clinton, look what he did, and he did it in the White House with a subordinate. Anthony Weiner, you know, the sad part of it from his perspective is he's doing the time, and he really didn't even get to do the crime.
Yeah. Which reminds me, Sidney Leathers, your 15 minutes are almost up. Now, here's another politician I want to ask you about. And since the book
come
is about...
Come on, Paul, admit it. You're going to buy the tape.
No. since the book that you've contributed to is about recovering politicians, can you explain to me why Mark Sanford, the former governor of South Carolina, who lost his job because of the Appalachian Trail mistress from Argentina, why voters chose him again and have now sent him to Congress? How did Mark Sanford recover?
Well, when Anthony Weiner denied everything and said his account had been hacked, Mark Sanford looked at the voters of the state, called a press conference, and said, I'm sorry, I've made a mistake, but I'm in love with someone else. And I think a lot of people in their life have been in a marriage and then realized that maybe it wasn't a perfect match. Mark Sanford addressed it head on. He probably gave us a little more information than we needed to know. But I think it's a little bit different to say you've fallen in love with someone else than to just be like randomly sexting people you've never met who are 21 years old and proposing a sex tryst in Chicago. The woman who Sanford fell in love with, she wasn't younger. His wife was attractive, and so it wasn't like he was leaving an unattractive person for like a visibly more attractive younger woman. And that's the kind of thing that doesn't go down well, especially with female voters. Since Sanford seemed to be very candid about it and wasn't leaving his wife for someone, you know, for sort of a trophy wife situation, I think it went down a little bit better.
Did you consider, after doing your jail time and after admitting everything, and you and I did an hour-long interview in which you talked about that entire experience several years ago, did you consider, okay, you know what, now I've been honest and I've seen what guys like Mark Sanford have been able to do by apologizing and being really upfront about everything, have you considered getting back into politics and running for office again?
You know, it's the thoughts crossed my mind, And then subsequently, I've gotten married since I came out of prison. And I after some conversations about it with my wife, I learned that the same day that I would go to the courthouse to file for elective office, she would be right behind me at the courthouse filing for divorce. So that kind of put a damper on any ambition I might have had to get back in the game.
That would be a different episode of The Good Wife, wouldn't it?
Exactly.
What is it, do you think, that causes men, and we're talking mostly about men here, to do these sort of things, Jeff?
I mean, you know, men, obviously, as Kissinger once said, you know, power is the ultimate aphrodisiac. And a lot of men who go into politics didn't exactly have their pick of the litter when they were dating before they got into politics. I mean, you know, Anthony Weiner, not the most classically handsome guy, and I think a lot of politicians are not. And yet, once they get into office, all their jokes are funnier, they're better looking, everybody wants to be around them now because of the proximity to power. And that's an intoxicating experience for the politician, and that kind of allure gives men in power just more opportunities. And so I think a lot of it boils down to that. A lot of men who maybe were kind of nerds, you know, you've heard it said before that politics is just show business for ugly people.
Uh-huh.
And so a lot of people who maybe didn't get all the girls in high school or college, you know, now have a bounty of opportunities to do so. And so I think, you know, that's a kind of a concrete explanation for why it happens so much. I think men, you know, it, women just don't seem, first of all, there's not as many women in power.
Yep.
And second of all, they don't seem to be as susceptible to these types of alerts. But although there are a couple women that have been involved in
a few
scandals, not many.
There have been a few. The book is called A Recovering Politician's 12-Step Program to Survive Crisis. It's available now in paperback and ebook for download. One of the contributors, Jeff Smith, thanks for joining me here today. I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend. America.